This is the Locked On Yankees podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Sean St. Jacques. It's Gary Phillips. We are back again for more Yankees talk here on Locked On Yankees. A lot to get to on the show today. We'll talk about the future of Clint Frazier later on in the show. Yankees, of course, also about to get started with the Kansas City Royals in KC for a three-game set. We'll also give you an update on where some of the Yankees' toughest rivals are going right now in their respective divisions. But Gary, first and foremost, the latest on Brendan Drury and also the vote of confidence in the end that the Yankees have given Miguel Andujar by sending Brendan Drury down. Of course, Brendan Drury has basically had his blurriness or his problems with his vision pretty much cured. That's what it seems like has happened. But Miguel Andujar has been playing so well. We've kind of talked about this in the past that we knew this decision had to come. And because of how well Miguel Andujar has played, the decision has been made by Aaron Boone to leave Brendan Drury off the top roster.
Yeah, so I don't know if they're cured, but it's definitely at a point where it's become manageable for Drury. For those of you that don't know, he finished his rehab assignment. He's no longer eligible to be on the DL. Faced with a tough decision, instead of bringing him back up to the major league roster, the Yankees just reinstated him, and they optioned him to AAA Scranton Wilkes-Barre. So that, like Sean said, it's a vote of confidence for Andujar, who certainly deserves one right now. I mean, he's not as hot as he was a few weeks ago, but still, the kid's batting .284. He's got 3 homers, 14 RBIs, 13 doubles. I mean, he's still swinging a good, productive bat at the back of their lineup, and the Yankees just don't see any reason to shake things up, especially with a guy that's been away from the majors for so long now.
During like the tail end of that winning streak, he took a little bit of a dip. Like in the Red Sox series, he didn't play very well. And in the Oakland series, he kind of came back to life a little bit, had a couple of multi-hit games in the 2 wins over Oakland. And the Yankees also had a little bit of a hiccup in that first game of that series as well. But Andujar is kind of finally rounding back into form. He's batting, like you said, .284. Has a couple of home runs, hasn't hit one in a while, but he's still driving in runs. He's still getting on base. You know, one thing that he hadn't done in a while was have an extra base hit, and he finally did that in the game against Washington that ended up getting postponed. But he's kind of getting back into shape, and I guess with Aaron Boone, he's kind of thinking, you know, obviously Brendan Drury is not, you know, over the hill by any stretch. He still has a lot of good years left, but Miguel Andujar has been hitting really well overall. He still brings a good glove in the infield as well. And again, this is still a youth movement here.
Yeah.
You're still trying to get the Baby Bombers some time, and Miguel Andujar could be a big part of the Yankees' future if he keeps playing like this. And the fact that Brendan Drury hasn't played in a while could slow up the momentum that the Yankees have. I like the decision.
Right. Yeah, no, I do as well. And, you know, you say, I said Andujar's cooled off a little bit. Like, I think the reason that perception exists because he's not, you know, cranking out extra base hits
right.
every single at
yeah.
bat, like you said. But he's still 9 for his last, 28. He's still 9 for his last 28. That's a .321 average.
Yeah.
I mean, he's making contact. He's getting on base. He's putting the ball in play. And remember, this is a guy that's mostly been your 7-8 hitter, and he's producing like someone you would want at the top of the lineup. So yeah, they're not gonna mess with that. There's no reason to. And also, his glove has looked a little bit better than people expected, I think. But you mentioned the Baby Bombers in the future.
Yeah.
And I don't think you count Drury out there, though.
You know, no, you're right.
He's still a young guy with years of team control. And I think the Yankees want to see him.
He's 25, 26 years old,
right,
something like that.
Right. I think the Yankees want to see him play into their future just as much as, you know, these other homegrown kids like Andujar, like Torres, Tyler Austin, you know, maybe in more of a utility role, maybe what they had imagined for somebody like Tyler Wade entering the season. Because the only downside to Andujar's game is that he's kind of locked in at third base. Drury
right.
can, they prefer him at third base, but he could play second, he could play a little left field, he could play a little first base, so there's definitely some flexibility and some value there. And again, this is a guy that they have on the cheap for a few more years.
So again, we're middle of the month of May here, Gary. Still relatively early in the season. I'm just curious, because I've been thinking about this too. Brandon Drury's role on the team could really become insignificant as the season goes along. Does that force the Yankees' hand to maybe have to include him in a trade later on if you want to get a pitcher or if you want to get another bat in the lineup? You probably don't need another bat, but at some point, if you want to get another guy maybe in the bullpen or in the rotation, if he's not playing and if he ends up staying where he's at and becoming not big in the role, could he end up being part of a trade towards the trade deadline?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for all the reasons I just said that he's valuable to the Yankees and their future, I mean, that could apply to another team. It depends on, you know, look, we see it all the time. Injuries happen, guys get their shots. These things have a way of working themselves out.
Right.
But, yeah, no, there's no reason he can't be a valuable trade ship if another team comes asking, especially since the Yankees, you know, with Torres, they have their second baseman. With Andujar, they have their third baseman. They're still high on Tyler Wade becoming a productive big leaguer in a role that would be similar to Drury's in the post-Andujar call-up world. But, yeah, I think he'd be a very valuable trade ship. And again, you're with his contract situation being pre-arbitration, you know, that's a valuable piece. Another team is getting an impact player, a starter type player that can play multiple positions, that's under team control. So yeah, that allows the Yankees to ask for a little bit more in return. Proven big leaguer, so you package him with maybe a prospect or two, depending on who it is we're talking about, and a potential deal. Yeah, that's a good chip to include.
And it'll be interesting to see now how Miguel Andujar deals with maybe a little bit of added pressure now that Aaron Boone has said, all right, we're giving it to you. This is your opportunity to really take a hold of this. And I don't know if he's been thinking in the back of his head that maybe somebody's coming up from behind him, but now Miguel Andujar, it's clear as day that it's going to be his job for quite some time, at least for this season, it looks like, for now. I wonder how that added pressure affects his game.
Well, you know what? The thing about him and you could say it for all the Yankees young kids is they handle pressure phenomenally well.
100%.
Whether it's on the field or off it. And a few guys in that clubhouse this season have spoken about a few guys that weren't homegrown Yankees, I should clarify. You know, Neil Walker being one of them, have talked about, you know, kind of just wondering aloud, what is it that they teach these kids in the minors as they bring them up? Because they all just, they handle the big situation well, they handle the media well, they handle struggles and slumps well. So it's, I think to answer your question, I don't think anything's really going to change with him. I think he's going to continue to go about his business, you know. Going back to spring training, you could have said there was a tremendous amount of pressure on Andujar because people were talking about him winning the job and being ready, and I mean, look at what he did in spring training. He tore the cover off the ball.
Right.
You know, then kind of out of emergency, they call him up and it's like, ah, like we need him to produce. Like we need him to make up for the loss of Drury. Okay. Dude's cranking out doubles every single at bat. So I think as far as pressure goes, like, I don't think that's going to impact him all that much.
It's interesting you say that because I know for a fact, just from being around a few of the Yankees minor league teams, that they have, you know, English as a second language classes, and they have, you know, banking classes, and I'm sure they have interview sessions, and they have these different ways, especially because you know that you're going to be dealing with the New York media, buzzwords to say, you know, phrases to utter when certain questions are asked. We've seen it with Judge, we've seen it through a translator with Gary Sanchez, we've seen it with Gleyber Torres. It could be extremely calm and confident, not only at the plate, but in the clubhouse and with the media. It seems like it's just part of the DNA of being a Yankee prospect and being a Yankee player.
And if you're wondering, if you're listening, you're probably wondering, like, what are they talking about, you know, with all this off the field stuff? Well, what we're trying to get across is that the Yankees kind of ingrain this maturity in their prospects and their players long before.
It's not a mistake.
Long before they ever get to the major leagues. I think you look around at some young teams across the majors and you hear or you read all the time, you know, well, this guy's getting acclimated to big league life, or, you know, he's getting adjusted, or, you know, just learning how to do things. Like, the Yankees make sure that stuff is set in stone in the minors and taken care of, and then that they come prepared, and then it's that much easier to take care of the on-field stuff. You know, there's this, and this is from speaking to these guys, and Sean's been around them as well. He's done some work with the minor league teams. Like, there's a sense of maturity in these 22, 23, 24-year-olds that might not compare to some other organizations.
And it's just, especially in the major leagues, Gary, and this will end on this, you know, even you look at the stars. I mean, remember all the crazy things that Bryce Harper used to say to the media and stuff like that. You know, Mike Trout is one of the exceptions. You know, you never hear anything about, you know, when he says to the media, he handles himself extremely well. But you see these young, up-and-coming guys sometimes have a hiccup in front of the media. You don't see that with the Yankees because, by the time that they're up there, it's as if they've been answering questions from the media for years.
Right.
All right, Gary, let's move on. Yankees are moving on themselves to Kansas City to take on the Royals.
After a very exciting
rain delay.
Trip in Washington, D.C.
About as exciting of a two-day rain delay and a postponement.
We got you know, half a big night from Tyler Austin.
Yeah.
And a very funny Masahiro Tanaka at bat, so that was good.
That was fantastic. And then, of course, it all gets pushed back to hopefully when there's better weather on June 18th. So we have a game and a third to play coming up between the Yankees and the Nationals. That game got finished up tied at 3. So it's basically as if they didn't play the first 5.5 innings. They still got a lot to play for when those two teams meet up again in June. So again, they move on. They play the Royals. The Royals, as we record this, Gary, are 13-30. And they're somehow only 8.5 games out of first place. They're in fourth place in the Central. We'll get to that a little bit later.
That division is garbage.
We'll get to that in a second. Yeah, it is a dumpster fire right now in the AL Central. But quickly, let's focus just on the Kansas City Royals just for a second. Again, this was a team, Gary, not too long ago. 2015, they were hoisting the world championship. They kind of put all their eggs in that team's basket. The year before, of course, they got to Game 7 against the San Francisco Giants. Madison Bumgarner carried the entire Bay Area on his back to win that title. And then the Royals come back and they beat the Mets in 5 the next year to win the World Series. And this is just a shell of that team, obviously. No more Eric Hosmer. The bullpen has absolutely been torn to shreds. The shrapnel has been spread apart and cast upon the rest of Major League Baseball. Alcides Escobar doesn't look like the same player that he did a few seasons ago. I mean, Mike Moustakas, to be fair, is still having a really good season. 10 home runs, 30 RBIs. They've picked up a couple other guys. I mean, Jorge Soler, who was going to be a part of the Cubs' future at one point, is leading this team in hitting. John Jay, who has bounced around the middle of the country, was a Cardinal, he was a Cub, and now he's a Royal. So there's some guys on this team. Alex Gordon is still the centerpiece of this team. You could argue, rather, that Salvador Perez is probably the leader on this team. He'll probably be a Royal for the rest of his life. And you know, some guy named Lucas Duda, never heard of him, but he's on this team.
Yeah, we were talking about this beforehand. There's some funny names on this team.
There are some guys that you may not have heard of that you might have seen around your college. Yeah.
Like Whit Merrifield or Chesler Cuthbert. Those are
definitely some pledge class presidents in the mix here.
Some lacrosse players maybe.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
But that's about all they got going for them. It's some creative names.
To be a little bit more serious about this, the Royals have had, we can be high and mighty because the team we look at and cover is the best in baseball, but the Royals have had a tough go of it.
You know what? You're
in 2018.
Right. Let's talk about Jason Hamill and his 6.20 ERA.
He's having a great go.
You want to
fool around for a segment here? I'll say this: one guy that I really like on this Royals team, and not just because he's on my fantasy team, but a guy that has impressed at times early on in this season, Jacob Junis, the guy who's actually going to be pitching against CC Sabathia in Game 1 of the series, has actually had a solid season. Now, again, you know, 3.53 ERA could be middle of the road on some other teams, but he actually leads the team in ERA. He's 4-3, kind of throw the record out of the book there. The offense hasn't always been great, but he has really good off-speed stuff. His ERA plus is by far the best on the team. He's pitching, he has some of the most innings, second in innings pitched on the team behind Jason Hamill. He's been really, really good at times this season. He's gone deep into games, good off-speed stuff, and this is the first year that we've gotten to see him a lot, and he's been really impressive. So the Yankees have a good a decent challenge in game one. After that, the rest of the starting pitching for Kansas City has certainly been less than desired.
You know that saying, a diamond in the rough?
Yeah.
He's like a shiny rock in the rough. Like,
that's fair. I mean, he's been that for my fantasy team. He's come up with some huge starts for my team.
Like, he hasn't established himself as good yet, but like you said, he's put together some good outings.
Sure, a lot of signs that it could be really good.
He's got decent numbers this year, and I mean, he's just surrounded by garbage in the rest of that rotation.
It's bad, yeah.
I mean, the Royals just really have zero pitching outside of him.
When you look at
his numbers, and he's a guy to talk up.
Guy that has the most experience on your team hasn't recorded a win yet this season, that's a bit of an issue. And right. Jason Hamill has been really bad. I mean, there's just no other way around.
Every other pitcher in that rotation has been terrible.
Yeah, Danny Duffy's really struggled. Former Yankee Ian Kennedy is in this rotation as well. It's so funny.
He's having the second best season of a starter there with a 4.98 ERA.
What an up and down career it's been for Ian Kennedy. I mean, there's just no other way around it. He was going to be part of the Yankees' future, and to be honest, he's probably not going to pitch in this series, you know, unless there's a rain delay or another something or another that could delay the series. But he's not scheduled to pitch, but he starts as a Yankee. He could be part of the future. Phil Hughes, Jabba Chamberlain, and Ian Kennedy. Used to be those three guys. And then he ends up flopping. They don't really use him a lot. He goes to Arizona eventually. Ends up being the starting pitcher on a team that almost goes to the World Series. They had a shot at it for a while there. He pitched in some pretty big postseason games as a Diamondback. They didn't get very far in the end, but they had a good enough team to make a run in the postseason at one point, and he was the ace of that stuff. I believe he was a 20-game winner on that team, and now he's back down in the pits being on a team that, you know, very likely isn't going to make the playoffs and is a team that, you know, this early in the season has 30 losses and is struggling at home, and he's been a reason why he's really not been very good. It's just crazy. You know, you just follow the roads of these Yankees that were once part of the future of the team. And Ian Kennedy, now it was nice to see him have that stretch with the Diamondbacks because it showed you what the Yankees saw in him and what the Diamondbacks, I think Kirk Gibson was the manager, were able to get out of him. But now he's part of a Royals team that the Yankees are about to face that's going downhill in a hurry. And they have one team that's worse than them in the AL Central, and that's arguably the worst team in baseball, the Chicago White Sox.
Well, speaking of crappy teams.
Yeah, you want to talk about the AL Central?
Well,
let's dive in.
You know what? Before we even get to the AL Central, which, yeah, it's a dumpster fire, this is an important road trip for the Yankees.
100%.
Because they got three games against the Royals, who are, you know, hardly treading water. And then they got another series against the Texas Rangers.
Who are also last place
in the AL West.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, the AL West this season, stacked.
Except for the Rangers.
Right. Everybody's played pretty well except for the Rangers.
So, like, this is an important series. Not because it's necessarily a difficult series, but these are all games the Yankees
should win.
I mean, they should come out of this 6-0.
But because...
Coming up after
that,
you know, you got kind of a repeat from 2 weeks ago. You've got the Angels and the Astros coming to visit Yankee Stadium.
The delayed home and home.
Right. So, then
four against the Orioles, which you got to win.
Uh-huh.
So,
I mean, these aren't difficult games, but they're games
must win.
You kind of have to win because, look, at this point, the Yankees, they're on fire. They're tearing the majors up. They're 8-2 in their last 10.
And this is a Royals team that has lost 5 in a row,
right.
7 of 8. You know, they haven't had a winning streak for a while now. This is a team you got to take advantage of.
But what I'm saying with the Yankees is, like, at some point, you know, they're going to cool off. That's what baseball teams do.
Yes.
So
it's a long season.
You know, these are easy games to win.
Yeah.
Like whether they're a hot or cold team at the moment, like, these are games against Texas and Kansas City that you should take care of no problem. So do that, get those out of the way, and then, you know, if the cooling off period is to take place with Anaheim and Houston coming to town, you know, so be it. You can live with that.
Yeah, it's just funny. Look at the AL Central. We kind of alluded to this earlier. just how pedestrian it's been all season.
That's the perfect word.
Only one team at 500. It's the Cleveland Indians.
First place 500
team. That just never happens. You know, it just doesn't ever. There's usually a team that always ends up separating themselves, and they've separated themselves by a game and a half over the three games under 500. Minnesota Twins, who have really not been great at times this season. Detroit is still hanging around. They're two games out. Everyone thought Detroit was going to be fourth easily this season.
It's such a low bar, but yeah. I figured Detroit would be at the bottom of that.
Seriously, I mean, they're right there with the White Sox, and you look at them, and they haven't played great, but they're right there. You look at the Indians, and we talked a little bit about this before we came on. The pitching just hasn't been there. The bullpen has been pedestrian at best this season, so inconsistent. The offense has been right about not where it was, but it's still producing some good hitters. There's no question about that. The young talent that Cleveland has in the lineup, led by Francisco Lindor, is still tough to deal with. But the pitching has been awful for Cleveland.
That's the one team in that division where I'd say they're going to be just fine.
Right.
Yeah, like I don't expect them to play 500 ball or to win that division with a 500 record. Like, they're going to be fine.
For me, and this is just because the Yankees are going to be rivals with Cleveland, this is a team that can challenge the Yankees when they're right. The bullpen has been a really big surprise, it's been. That's a big problem through 42 games.
Right. At this point in the season, I think we can say, like, all right, the Indians aren't a team the Yankees have to worry about so much, you know?
At least right now, because of that bullpen.
It's a long season. Things have, good teams especially straighten themselves out, and that's exactly what the Indians are on paper, at least. But for right now, it's like, all right, very clearly it's the Yankees, Astros, and Red Sox at the top of the American League.
But that's the thing. The Cleveland's not even in that second tier
right now. We're not discussing them at this point.
All right, Gary, we got one more for the fans here to finish this one up. This one's all about Clint Frazier, and he's kind of one of the forgotten men on this team, but he has returned. He returned with that tweet, that Michael Jordan-esque tweet, saying that he is back with the Big League Ball Club, and he is. They bring him back up with the team, and it's kind of one of those things. You know, we'll kind of have this a little bit of a different conversation when Greg Bird comes back, but just because of the influx of guys that have been playing really well, Brett Gardner's obviously a leader on this team. Aaron Hicks has these last 2 years has really shown that he could be a long-term solution out there in center field. You look at Clint Frazier, he comes back. And again, he's talked with different members of the media. He says that he wants to play well enough so the Yankees will decide to keep him. He wants to play his way back onto the team after this injury and these rehab games and things of that nature. It's just one of those things where it's so tough because you look around the rest of the Yankee roster and even now Brett Gardner's gotten out of his little funk, and Aaron Hicks has been playing really well, and obviously you're not going to move Aaron Judge or Giancarlo Stanton out of their spots. So it's one of those things where you look at Clint Frazier and you're like, boy, he's going to have to play well, but you know, he's got to play really, really well if he wants to fight his way long-term on this team.
Yeah, you know, I think it's more of a look towards the future than anything. Like you said, I think at this point, unless injuries happen, the Yankees are committed to Brett Gardner and Aaron Hicks in the outfield this year. But it's likely Brett Gardner becomes a free agent after this season. He's getting up there in age, as much as they value him as a leader. At some point you have to look at getting younger. And then as for Hicks, you know, I mean, they love him. They really seem to like him, but he either hasn't been able to stay healthy or he hasn't proven that, you know, he's the answer, at least a full-time starter. He just hasn't shown it. And, you know, with the possibility of Gardner moving on and Hicks having not really cemented himself, I don't see why Clint Frazier is not your starting left fielder this time next year. I think Yankee fans look at this kid as nothing more than trade bait. I mean, this is a guy who's ready to play in the major leagues right now, who clearly wants to be in New York, who hasn't made a fuss about kind of being held back, because let's face it, you know, if he didn't suffer a concussion of his own, which was just a freak accident, if he doesn't suffer that in spring training, he's probably on the major league roster to start the season with, or at least a day into the season, because Hicks got hurt, remember?
Right.
So he's I mean, I think he's an incredibly talented player, especially as a hitter. And this is a guy that it seems like Yankees fans just want to trade, which, if the right deal comes up, you do it. I think he's worth an ace. I don't think he's worth less than that.
No.
I think he's the centerpiece of a package for an ace, you know, kind of like what they were talking about with Garrett Cole in the offseason, except at that point, Cole hadn't really cemented himself as a top-tier pitcher. Obviously, that came around to bite the Yankees. He's pitching very well in Houston right now. But, yeah, and then it's funny. Like, people, I read Yankee fans on Twitter, and it's like, either Frazier doesn't have a place because of Gardner and Hicks right now, or the Yankees can't give Frazier a spot because 3 years from now, he'll be blocking Estevan Florial. Well, like, how about we just let the guy play and see what he's capable of doing and make these decisions when the time comes?
And a couple of things that people forget about Clint Frazier is not only is he good in the outfield, he has one of the quickest bats you'll see from a guy coming out of the minor leagues.
Quote,
his bat speed.
Quote, legendary bat speed, said Brian Cashman.
Exactly. And there's a reason they call him Red Thunder. It's not because of the hair, although the red part is because of the hair. The Thunder is because of that bat. The bat has been really impressive. When he's gotten his chance, he hit a walk-off home run at one point during his time last season early on. This is a kid that could be the future of, if it's not the Yankees, like you said earlier, with Brandon Drury, if he gets traded at some point, which, you know, who knows, but this could be the future of somebody's team in Major League Baseball, and this is a kid that is ready. This is a kid that's got the bat speed and the acumen as a hitter to be a Major League Baseball player, and he's good enough defensively as well. And I agree. You look at the numbers for Aaron Hicks. They haven't been great. I think the reason people buy in, I think, to Aaron Hicks is because Aaron Boone and Joe Girardi last year, they bought into Aaron Hicks.
Brian Cashman's always bought into Hicks.
And, of course, yeah.
But at some point, you know, the guy either shows you he's got it or he doesn't, you know? I mean,
and 208 has not shown you he's got it.
That's exactly
what he's batting so far this season.
He looked very good last year, and then he got kind of hampered by injuries.
Yes.
And, you know, he's only got 28 games under his belt so far this season. Like, he hasn't played as much due to the injuries. But again, I just don't see this overwhelming evidence that there's no spot for Clint Frazier going forward. Maybe not as an everyday player in 2018, but you got a kid who's ready right now.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes patience, you know, patience is a virtue. Like, look at the Cubs, what happened with them a few years ago.
Right.
They had too many shortstops, right?
Yeah.
With Addison Russell and Starlin Castro and Gleyber Torres and the minors. Well, Castro's gone now. Torres is gone now. And Addison Russell's not very good. They're talking about, you know, Manny Machado being the answer to all their problems. And it's only going to cost them a few $100 million.
Yes.
So, you know, like, sometimes it pays to hang on to the depth. Like, depth and patience are good things. Now, I'm not saying if the Tampa Bay Rays call and it's like, we'll give you Chris Archer, but we need Clint Frazier. Go get the ace. Like, if that's what you have to, like, if that's the move that's on the table.
That's more of a pressing issue.
Do what you have
to
do, but I don't think he should be part of a package for anything less than an ace.
I agree. And the other part of it is with Clint Frazier, like you just said, you've mapped it out really well. Brett Gardner's not going to be there forever, you know, whether Yankee fans like it or not.
And Hicks gets hurt. Ellsbury gets hurt.
And why not? With the way Aaron Hicks has been playing and his injury history, why not say, all right, you know, we'll bring up Clint Frazier, we'll see how he plays. If he plays well enough, Gardner can play center field. We can put him in left, and then that could be your outfield. But the other part of it is, you know, you've already seen it work out really well by having Tyler Austin around. Greg Bird gets hurt. Now we have Tyler Austin here, who can come in and hit the ball really well, can hit the cover off the ball, play good defense, and when we don't want to play him, we don't have to play him.
And right now, I think Frazier, if the deadline was tomorrow and you needed to make a move, I think you would say Clint Frazier's probably your top trade chip, your number one trade chip at this point.
It probably is,
that doesn't mean you just trade your number one chip for 100%. Anything. And the thing about the Yankees that people keep forgetting, because the major league team is so good and they keep calling kids up and you would think the farm would be depleted already,
mm-mm,
they still have the number two system in baseball.
Yes.
So, like,
boy, it's good to be the Yankees.
If somebody less than an ace is on the table, like, they can put a package together that doesn't include Frazier and still get the job done.
That's been the magic that Brian Cashman's been able to wield with that with his skills there as the GM. It's been incredible, and that's why he's been able to keep on
right
to Gleyber Torres and keep Miguel Andujar.
So
and
like
keep
unless
these guys.
So like unless like the Bumgarners of the world become available, and it's like
which
all right
because the Giants are playing pretty well right now,
and you know the team on the other end of the phone is saying Clint Frazier or bust. Like hang on to the kid; it might pay off.
You never know, and like you said. If you're that desperate and Tampa calls, you've got two or three other guys.
Tampa
you could say, listen, we like Clint Frazier. We're holding on to him. But if you look at our farm system,
right.
We've got three or four pretty good prospects you may want to keep an eye on that you might like instead of him.
Like, he's their number one trade chip, I think, but also the guy that can make the most immediate impact in a full-time role, even if it's not this year.
Can I say this, and we'll kind of get out of here on this.
Yeah, you guys have had enough of us.
Yeah, I think we've tortured you enough with Yankees talk, but although it's been a good show, and not to pat ourselves too much on the back.
Always a good show.
Yeah, always
a good show. Sean?
quick couple pats on the back. Clint Frazier reminds me, Gary, of a young and maybe more talented Nick Swisher with his personality, with the way he goes about playing the game. He always has a lot of fun out on the field. Not as boisterous, not as in your face.
I talked to Clint a lot. Last year when he came up, because like that was when I first started doing sporting news.
And obviously his talent is way up there. But
I've never gotten the impression, though, that he's insane.
Well, I'm not saying Nick Swisher's insane.
Oh, I'm saying Nick Swisher's insane.
Oh, you are.
That's what I'm saying.
Nick, if you end up somehow stumbling upon this.
In the best possible way.
But what I'm saying is he's got the look, but he's also got the talent, and he's also kind of got that personality. Again, it's not as pronounced.
He's just a gamer. Like that's the impression I got from him.
He's just a guy, I think, that just loves the game and loves being competitive, but he also could be a guy in the clubhouse that people, you know, warm up to immediately. He's just another one of the guys, obviously, but he's also a guy that gives the Yankees some personality.
I tell you, wherever he ends up, that's
the part of it that it reminds me a little bit of Nick Swisher.
Wherever he ends up, you know, sticking, he's going to be a fan favorite.
100%. I think people forget how much everyone liked him when he played last season
for
the team. And I think because everyone's saying,
"You're right,
Gleyber, and Miguel Andujar, they're fantastic. Why would we, you know?" And I'm like, guys, Clint Frazier. This kid's really good. Why would you just, you know, throw away a guy that could be really, really a cornerstone? Again, this is the thing, you know, the Yankees have so many prospects. You could build like two future Yankee teams with the amount that they have left in the farm system and the guys that are already up. I mean, the fact that you want to just throw one of those guys away when there's a part and there's a chance that he could end up being a guy in left field or center field, or just on the team for 10, maybe 15 years. Who knows? This could be the future of your team. Think twice or maybe even three times before you just want to say, yeah, get rid of them. All right. Follow Gary H. Phillips on Twitter. Follow SSaintJ7 on Twitter. Follow Locked On Yankees on Twitter as well. Make sure you listen to all the podcasts on Apple Podcasts as well. And we'll see you guys next week.
Take it easy, guys.